What are you willing to do to satisfy your hunger and thirst? Will you devour food, or will you eat it? Or will you have a beverage and drink it slowly in order to enjoy it? In Matthew, the 5th chapter and the 6th verse, we learn about the proper attitudes about the reasons and source of our spiritual needs. Associate Pastor Elder Michael McGilvie talks about part 5 of our series on the Beatitudes with his sermon called A Never-Ending Desire. Welcome to Precepts, a podcast sermon ministry of New Life Community Church, located in Pontiac, Michigan. Our church's vision is proclaiming Christ and equipping saints in the bond of fellowship. During each podcast series, Pastor Elder Jerry Seawright addresses biblical and doctrinal topics impacting Christians' daily living. Feel free to visit the media section of our website at www.nlccpontiac.org to download as well as take sermon notes during the podcast.
Please support that. I know this week we're actually putting the community into our church by reaching out to this community and praying with those who will allow us to pray with them. So on Tuesday nights, just come out, like I said, and come and partake of the word with us. In addition to that, I want to meet with the elder board right after service. In addition to that, real quick, I'm just trying to fly through these. How many participated in our 30-day prayer that we had with where we pretty much were led in that by Dr. David Jeremiah, his book? We posted them each day on social media, and we tried to have the church pray collectively. Well, we're going to do that again. Amen. Mm-hmm. And this time we're going to do it with Dr. Tony Evans, and he's going to go through the names of God with us through these 30 days. Amen. So we're going to ask that everyone get aboard. All right, everyone get aboard, and we're going to pray together because we believe that prayer changes.
Sure do.
That's right, things. At least once somebody said it. Amen. In addition to that, and last but not least, I would like to thank all of you who supported Karen this week and prayed for Karen. She had surgery, doing well. She's still recouping, but we've had those who visited, those who've sent flowers, we thank you all. We got a great meal, and it was interesting because that day I just had a taste for chocolate. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I came home and it was some chocolate cheesecake.
Yes.
I had it Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I've been working on that thing, so it's been good. Amen.
Amen.
And last but not least, we're going to come, Elder Mack actually is going to come before us today with the word on today. And I'll follow him next week with the next Beatitude. Amen. Mm-hmm. So keep this brother in your prayer, and I'm going to hand it over to him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Saints, y'all can stay seated. Just look to God with me. And Father God, we ask for anointing, Father God, first of all, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You saw all the creativeness, Father God, on my part during the week, Lord. I just ask, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that we all won't be in vain, that the word will go forth, Father God, and souls will be lifted, edified, and some, whoever it may be, will come crying what they must do to be saved. In Jesus' name, church, say amen. Amen, amen. Look with me, if you will, to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Amen. Starting with the first verse of the 5th chapter, we're going to go to verse 6. And seeing the multitudes, he went up on the mountain. And when he was seated, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen, amen. Amen. Just a lot of background right now. Amen. Thought for the message. Now, never ending desire. Amen. From Matthew's perspective, amen, of this discourse, him being a disciple, amen, he depicts Jesus as King of the Jews, their long-awaited Messiah. Matthew's gospel documents Jesus' claim as King and Messiah by his genealogy, his baptism, his messages, and finally, his death and resurrection, proving that he is the King of the Jews and that he lives. Amen. We know he lives. We see him in Acts 1. Amen. Already ascended up into heaven. We know if he ascended, he rose from the dead and that he lives. Amen. We see him with Stephen. Amen. When he was standing on the right hand, because, you know, they said in Hebrews, he was seated on the right hand of God. But far as the acclamation and being so proud of Stephen, and this was in glory, amen. So he proved that he was the Messiah and King. Now the Sermon on the Mount is which we're looking at here in Matthew 5. It's one of five great discourses in Matthew's gospel. Discourse number 2 is the commissioning of the 12. That's found in chapter 10. Number 3, the kingdom parables chapter 13. Number 4, the childlikeness of the believer in chapter 18. All these is in Matthew. And number 5, the Olivet discourse in Matthew's 24 and 25. The Sermon on the Mount, however, is one of the most misunderstood messages Jesus ever gave. One group said it's God's plan of salvation, and if we ever hope to go to heaven, right, we must adhere to these particular rules right here. A second group says, amen, and this, I'm getting this from Wordsby, it's a character, it's a charter for the world, for world peace, and begs the nations of the world to accept it. Amen, talking about probably the United Nations. Still another group says that the Sermon on the Mount calls to moral, it's a call to moral and ethical living. And it's placed so high that they felt that it was unrealistic and have projected that it's not for now. This fulfillment should take place in the tribulation period of the millennial. Though misunderstood, my brothers and sisters, my goal is to bring out as much of the understanding of this important passage to you as I can. So in Matthew 4, 23 through 25, Jesus, a little background, has previously been teaching in the synagogues and preaching throughout Galilee, healing and casting out demons, and he had performed a wide range of miracles. Amen. Therefore, seeing the overwhelming response of the multitude and having compassion on them, right? Amen. He knew exactly what they needed spiritually because he made man and knew what was in man. Amen. And just to go back just a little bit further, it was 400 years of silence before Matthew came on, before Matthew's gospel. And then when he did burst open with words from the Lord, amen. We find in Matthew's gospel that Jesus, amen, we got the genealogy and all of this of him. We got Mary's being the birthing Jesus. Galatians 4:4 says, and when the fullness of time, after the 400 years, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. And 1:17 of John, he said there, and the word became flesh. Amen. and dwelt among us. Amen. So, amen. Then we find Jesus being baptized by John the Baptist. After which, amen, God sent him by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness to be tempted of Satan. And then after that, amen, we find, and I got to go to it, amen, we find Jesus, amen, in the third chapter where he prepares, amen, the way. Amen. Satan tempts Jesus in the fourth chapter. I mean, that wasn't right. And he's calling his disciples, all his disciples in the fourth chapter as well. And then that's where we got to 23 through 25 in regards to the healing that Jesus did and preaching and teaching in the synagogues and all this. Amen. This is what Jesus did. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So, therefore, like you said, he knew what was in man because he made him. Then Jesus opened up his mouth and taught him. Amen. To the point that at the end of his Sermon on the Mount, we find in Matthew, the 7th chapter, because Matthew's Sermon on the Mount goes from the 5th chapter, 6th chapter, and the 7th chapter. So at the end of the 7th chapter of this particular sermon, verses 28 and 29, he taught them. That's what the first verse of 5 says. But he taught as one that had authority. The one they were so astonished by his teaching, because he wasn't teaching like who? The scribes and the Pharisees. Because they always quoted somebody whenever they taught, somebody famous all the time. Amen. But Jesus didn't do that. It was very, very unusual how God, man, Jesus Christ, taught. Amen. So he taught his words and his ways, amen, show that he was the Messiah. His words and his mannerisms show that he was the king of the Jews. They were so, everything that he did was so authoritative, like he was in charge all the time. So we see the teachings, amen, on what the necessary conditions are in order for, amen, one to enter into the kingdom of God, amen, as well as the characteristics of those who live in the kingdom. Amen. There's something about that. So when Jesus saw this and he said, well, wow, I'm going to set these guys down. And then I'm going to sit down, amen, and teach him, which was a custom of the rabbis. So Jesus already evaluated all these people that he had been healing. He knew exactly what they needed. And so he said, wow, he didn't need to get no other kind of information from anybody else. Because he said, bless it. This is what I'm going to do. Amen. He said, bless it. Amen. It's who? Amen. The poor in spirit. He saw how the multitude was. They were poor in spirit. Poor in spirit meaning they were dead in trespasses and sins. He knew that they needed a savior. They were poor in spirit. He said, for theirs is the kingdom, right? The kingdom. He pronounced this, amen, because he said these are the necessary, amen, even for the day, though he said it back then, this is necessary for us today. You gotta be my brothers and sisters. Poor in spirit in order to enter in the kingdom. And so what is being poor in spirit? It's the word blessed is a beatitude, meaning, amen, it can mean favor. It can mean bliss. Amen. It can be meaning blessed. Amen. Or fortunate. Amen. A person that's fortunate. Amen. However, it belongs, this right here, the word blessed belongs to only to the faithful, and that's us. So Jesus said in his that he was offering them spiritual, these people, spiritual happiness, well, really all mankind, in a way that they in which they had never heard before. And when they did hear it, amen, that amen, because of the way they view of blessings and everything in regards to pleasure and riches and this and that. Amen. Because if you didn't have it, then something was wrong with you. You was a sinner or something like that. They was astonished even then when Jesus said that. So the Lord is offering, amen, right now, amen, and even to them, real happiness. The Lord is offering real blessedness. But it's the kind of blessedness that only comes by being a part of Jesus' kingdom. Amen. So the truths of the Beatitudes, amen, is how you are, amen, when you come into the kingdom. how you will be as you live in the kingdom. And I'm going to explain that. They express the necessary conditions to enter the kingdom as well as the characteristics of those who live in the kingdom. Now, I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Man, this was a hard study. It was. And I ain't making any excuses, as I love the word of God. But man, I was trying to grasp. What are you saying? What are you saying here, Lord? Tell me. So this is why. Amen. The prerequisite or the criteria in order to enter into heaven, amen, or the kingdom. Amen. When I say heaven, I'm talking about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. And we know that they can be used, as Elder Seawright preached before, and it's been said before as well, that it's an interchangeable meaning. Amen. It could mean the same thing. Amen. So if I say kingdom of God, you mean kingdom of heaven. Yeah, I can mean kingdom of heaven. But if I say kingdom of heaven, oh yeah, it's kingdom of God. You see what I'm saying? Amen. It can be used that way. So this is a prerequisite for you to enter in. There's criteria, and you have to be poor in spirit, amen, in order to live. And say, well, what about these other things that are, that's about me? Well, they sum up, these things sum up to the Lord as you being poor in spirit. I don't care what other vices that you may have. Bottom line, if you don't know the Lord, you're what? Poor in spirit, amen. So in order to live in the kingdom, you must continue this, being just like this in the kingdom, poor in spirit. Why? Because you haven't been perfected. Amen. There's still the penalty. There's still the power, amen, of sin that could still be, and we know it's the presence of sin because we see that on the inside. But amen, you could be subdued because of being imperfect. There's none of us that are perfect. Can anybody raise their hand and say that they are? I don't think you can. So you must continue to recognize being poor in spirit or your poverty in the Lord. Amen. And why would I say that? Because Paul gave an example in the 7th chapter of Romans. He said, when I want to do good, what? Evil is always present. Amen. Who's going to deliver me from this body of death? Long story short, thanks God be to who? Jesus Christ, right? Now, he initiated all of that. So verse 4 says, the same mourning over sins, the same for mourning. You mourn over your sin. Amen. And because you have transgressed, amen, before you got into the kingdom, right? Amen. Because you was dead in trespasses. In that particular verse, if you look at it, it's saying that you transgressed against the Lord. So when you transgressed against the Lord, and you must continue to feel like that. That's what you did. Because once you stop feeling like you are poor in spirit and that you don't need to mourn, then something is wrong here. Something is wrong with you. You have not arrived where you done came to a perfection down here as a Christian to the point where you now, you don't need to be feeling like that anymore. But guess what? Your bubble is going to be busted. It's because this is going to, you're going to show up like this and then you're going to blow your mind. But anybody gets to that point in thinking that they are not like that anymore, you need to examine yourself to see where you are in the faith. Amen. Amen. Verse 5 says, you must come with the beatitude of meekness. Amen. And not prideful. Now, that's another vice. Amen. In regards to, now, when I say vice, it's just these vices that make up every born-again Christian in the world. Amen. So you must come with the beatitude of meekness, not being prideful. For a proud person, what? Cannot enter in. Amen. That's the way you were, but you can't, you gotta deal with the pride, amen, through accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. You can't be proud doing it. You gotta deal with that first. Amen. So you can't enter in because once you're in the kingdom, you want to, in your prideful state, want to be humble, right? You want to learn in your humility. You want to study, amen. You want to grow up in your faith to learn more about the Lord. Verse 6. So in order to enter, amen, the kingdom of heaven, amen, you must hunger. You must have a hunger. Your stomach needs to be growling, and you need to have a dry mouth, right? That's physical, ain't it? It's got to be a spiritual thing in regards to being the hunger and thirst here. You're hungering and thirst. Amen. Naturally, mankind is going to hunger and thirst. He got to eat and drink. Amen. In order to live what? Physically, right? Amen. But this hunger and thirst, amen, in order to live in the kingdom, amen, has to be spiritually. So there's a never-ending desire of this as a believer. Why? Because no one has arrived. We're all still striving, amen? So when you get into the kingdom, it's not over, amen, unless God says it's over. Remember that song? So it is important to, amen, know that these different blessings are not intended for different groups of people. Why I say that? Amen. These blessings instead are for one group of people. God's people. Amen. This means we believe that what God says about his son, we believe that he is who he said he is. Hebrews 11 and 6, right? First of all, you got to believe that he is and that he's what? A rewarder. Amen. This is your faith. We believe that God, without it, amen, faith in who? Faith in the God of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's us. Amen. This is who we believe. Amen. So this means that what God says about his son, we have to believe that. Amen. And that he came to die for our sins. So I got to believe that Jesus is who he said he is. Amen. When I say the death, burial, and resurrection, I got to look at the whole gambit of all of that. I got to believe, right, that Jesus suffered and did all of this for me. Amen. So when I come, I can't come on my own. Amen. How do I come? Somebody got to come and tell me about this. I can't come to the Lord by, what's that, on my own. What they call that? Osmosis? No, somebody got to witness to me and tell me who Jesus is. And then once he tells me who Jesus is in regards to his death, burial, and resurrection, then that's up to me. That ball is in my court now to accept that or believe that in order to get into his kingdom. Amen. So knowing this will make us hungry, right, for the word, and thirsting after righteousness. Amen. Now, how do you obtain this righteousness? Amen. We know in the third chapter of Romans, he said that all of our righteousness are filthy rags, right? And that continues on until we get into the glory, right? Wow, y'all see it, right? Y'all said, mm-hmm. I did hear, Mike, somebody out there say, mm-hmm. It's a That's what that is. Your righteousness is filthy rags apart from Christ. My righteousness can't get me nowhere. Amen. The righteousness that Jesus gives me is called imputed righteousness. Righteousness that's not my own. So what is the idea behind all of that? Okay, Jesus justified me. In his justifying me, he took my place because I was a devil and I needed to go to hell. Amen. But because somebody came and told me, like maybe you did, brother, one of those days, and told me about the goodness of the Lord. Amen, which saved me. Which I got the understanding, I accepted, and I believe. So once I believe, I mean, it's a whole lot of protocol here. There's a whole lot of protocol for salvation. Amen. But once I believed that, I was justified in the sight of God because of what Jesus did in coming to die for my sins. He came. Amen. This is what we talk. He came and did all this. And he showed me, he gave me a prerequisite of how I can get into the kingdom. He showed me my pedigree, amen, after I accept him as my Savior. He showed me my pedigree after I get saved. This is how you got to be, man. So Jesus justified me by taking my sin upon himself. That's what Jesus did. And this is what we call imputed righteousness. He justified me and made me right in the sight of an angry God when it comes to sin, because it's appointed a man to die one time. And if I did that in my sinful state, he's angry and he's going to throw me in hell. You understand what I said? Okay, I got two people that said they do. Jesus took my place. Jesus took my sin upon himself, because I could not do that. I was dead, Ephesians 2 and 1, to spiritual things. Amen. I could not come to the Lord on my own. God so loved, John 3:16, that he gave Jesus to do that, that I can have eternal life. So when I believe in John 3:16, whosoever believeth on him, I was justified before God. I was made right. I received now the righteousness of Christ. Amen. So now I can live in the poverty of my thinking, in my poor, in my spirit. I can mourn, amen, over those things that I did humbly. I can be meek humbly. I can do all of these things. Amen. Now that I'm in Christ, because I got the power of God, because he's not going to just say he accepted the Lord. But now somebody else had to come in the picture, and that's the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit gives me the power to do the things, to live this type of life for the Lord here in these Beatitudes. The power of the Spirit. So this means that we believe what God says, and that his son came to die for our sins. Knowing this will make us hunger. It will make us thirst for righteousness. Amen. For the word of God says, do you at times feel kind of dry? Spiritually at times. Amen. In your life. All of us do. And crave the water of life. Do we feel like that sometimes? If this is true of you, amen, you can be assured that God will fill you with his promise. He can give you a desire that you never, that'll never end. Amen. Amen. He told the woman at the well, amen, in the fourth chapter of John. Amen. He said, give me a drink of water. I mean, paraphrasing a little bit. And she said, you being a Jew, asked me to give you some water? And she went about doing it. Let's go there for a minute. Amen. Because I, you know, it's something about that, amen, passage right there that I love. Amen. Amen. Fourth chapter of John. Fourth chapter. Amen. Praise God. And I'm not going to be with you long. I'm going to shut it down. Amen. He said, you asking a Samaritan, a woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritan. Number 10, Jesus asked and said to her, if you know the gift of God and who is sending you, give me a drink. And you would have asked him that he would have given you living water. Amen. But verse 14 says, but whoever drinks this water, my brothers and sisters. Amen. It's not just for the Samaritan woman. Amen. Whoever drinks this water that I shall give him, he will never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up, amen, to everlasting life. Amen. I'm thirsty. I want to go to heaven. Amen. When we look at the Old Testament in Psalms 1, all the way to verse 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the... See, once you get into the kingdom, you are at the study. You're going to have to know the word. Amen. You're going to have a strong taste like Jeremiah ate the word. Said it was sweeter than honeycomb. You got to stay in the word. Amen. To understand. To be who you're supposed to be, that God has called you to be in his kingdom. Amen. And you got to display this everywhere you go. Amen. You'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. Amen. You won't hunger and thirst no more. He said in Luke's gospel, he gave them water. Man, I got it written down, but my my work here has messed up on me again. So I'm going to have to go, I got to shoot from the hip right now. Amen. Praise God. So he said, he'll give you water. He said, but he's going to make the rich poor. He said, you may be hungry. I think that was Luke, right around the sixth chapter. He's going to make you hungry. Amen. You might be hungry. He gonna fill you and everything. Jesus, God will do this for you. Amen. He got your best interest at heart. But you know what? Well, the invitation basically was given already. Amen. Basically it was. But will you stand with me right now? Amen. So what we see here, amen, in the Beatitudes, he said, be these attitudes. And the only way that you can be these attitudes, you have to come into his kingdom. Amen. And what we want to know, amen, amen, just on that, on this premise, amen, is there one, amen, in our congregation, amen, even being saved, that is struggling, amen, because we do. We struggle. All of us are not on the same plane. I know in the 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, it said that the ground, amen, the works that we do are made up of gold, silver, hay, stubble, and straw. Amen. You say, what is your work made up of? Amen. Is it like that? Amen. Because if it is, as a Christian, amen, and when the judgment comes, because all of us must appear before, as Christians, the judgment seat of Christ, it would be best for you to take inventory of your life while you're down here right now, amen, because you want the best reward that God has to offer. Amen. You want to be able to cast all those crowns at his feet for living those type of a righteous life, a godly life, amen, abstaining from certain things, amen. God will give you a crown for this. And he, every day you wake up and you open up these eyes, amen, into life, there's another opportunity to right your life where there's wrong in it. This is your opportunity, amen, to say, yes, Lord, I would like to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I want to be a follower of Christ. I want to be one of his disciples, is what the song is saying. So, is there one, amen, that may be, amen, even as Christian, amen, have struggled, amen, been struggling for the longest, and for whatever reason, you said, when I go to church this Sunday, Lord, give me the strength to come up where I can really get this right, this wrong in my life, so I can be all that you said. You know, when you fall out of fellowship, and I have done it several times, I fell out of fellowship in my younger Christian days and didn't have the spiritual muscle. I had it, but I didn't grow enough to the point where I can hang in there. And you know what? And when I fell out of fellowship with the Lord, you talk about something that bothered me, because I knew I was in the fellowship of the Lord in order to know that I was out. You got me? So I knew I was in the fellowship, but when I got out, I felt that's just like this. And man, I had to go in private, get on my knees and say, Lord, I want to come back. I want to come back, Lord. I don't want to do this no more. I don't want to do this. I want to be back in your fellowship. Because when I was in it, man, I was so happy. But, you know, you got the old man, and we cater to him. I hadn't been crucifying him. And by not crucifying him, amen, he took advantage of me. Amen. So that war was being waged on the inside, and the spirit man wasn't winning that much. But the old man was. So I had to turn that around. You know, I started growing real growth in the Lord. I'm going to tell you the truth. About 10 years ago, I've been in the Lord for 30 something years. I really started growing and getting my life right, because this is the way I wanted to go. Will you pray with me right now? And Father God, we come to you right now. We're asking for your strength, Lord. We're asking for your comfort. We're asking for your conviction, Lord, to right the wrong in our life. For every man and woman under the sound of my voice in these four walls, I don't care where we are, Father God, in the faith, we haven't arrived. We're imperfect. For Father God, there's a possibility in your word that we can live blameless, even though we have our fallen nature still on the inside. But we can live and walk upright. So I'm asking, Father God, in the name of Jesus, for our church family, the family that I love. Will you, Lord? Will you strengthen somebody? Help somebody, Lord? In Jesus' name. Sure, say amen with me. Amen. 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 Who we got here? Come on, brother.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. As I stated earlier, this morning in Sunday school, we were blessed with these souls here to come, and they all accepted the Lord as their, well, Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior. Amen. Now, I want it to be understood that this is not a repeat, like you have to come up here twice to be saved, okay? And it's not that. What it is that I want you to be able to put a face to the names that you will hear. Amen? And I want you to, as a church, wrap your arms around them. All right? They're not in this thing alone. Amen? So I just want them to say their names. They all understand. And matter of fact, they said it better than I could, you know. Some of them said, I want him to be my Lord and personal Savior because, hey, tomorrow's not promised. So it can't get any better than that. So I just want you all to say your names. Amen.
Monty.
Monty what?
Paultier.
Okay. Makai Paultier.
Alana Lawrence.
Makaya Paultier.
Mahogany Paultier.
Right. Thank you all. You all may be seated. Thank you all. So when you're praying, you can specifically call out their names. Amen. When you're praying for these new converts, amen, you can specifically call out their name. And I tell you, they keep the Lord is keeping the baptism business going. And that's good. That's good. That's good. I joked this morning, I said we got last week's water in there so we can. No, we'll clean it up. We'll clean it up. Yeah, we'll clean it up. But here's the other thing, though. I just don't feel that I should or anyone should come up here and pump this church up over the fact that angels are rejoicing right now. Okay? When a soul is snatched from the fire and the church can't rejoice, something's wrong with that. Amen? We have reason to be happy right now. We have reason to rejoice right now. We're talking about 5 lives. 5 lives. Man, I'm happy. I'm happy. And I hope the church is happy as well. Amen? Because this is what it's all about. All the other stuff, this is what it's all about. It's saving souls. Amen? All right. So I hope y'all happy too. Can we stand? Once again, I would like to meet with the elder board, real quick, very quickly. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Holy Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you now. And Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the precious souls, Lord, that have accepted Jesus as their Lord and personal Savior on today, Father. We rejoice, Lord, and I know that there is rejoicing going on in heaven as well. Father, right now I ask you, Lord, to just help this church and move this church, Lord, each and every member to pray for these children on today, Father. Help them to wrap their arms around them and let them know, Lord, that through this walk, they are not alone. That they will continue to be in prayer for them and giving them resources and advice and things of that nature, Lord, as they go on this journey. Help us to be helpers of one another. And Lord, help us to have that thirst and that hunger that was talked about on today. Lord, we thirst after you, like that deer that pants for the water, Lord. Our souls thirst for you, and we are thirsty for you today, Father. So touch us, Lord, until we meet again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope you were blessed by today's sermon and encourage you to continually read and apply God's holy word in your life. To learn more about New Life Community Church's vision, mission, resources, and upcoming events, please visit our website at www.nlccpontiac.org. Or you can also follow us on Twitter at nlccpontiac. May God richly bless and forever keep you.